Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Friday, June 28th. I'm Lauren Schmidt, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, Humboldt Sheriff's Office to get reality TV spotlight. Fortuna veteran celebrates 105th birthday. And the K-Mud News Sports Report. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. Humboldt County Policing will soon get a nationwide audience through a reality TV show. KMUD's Daniel Mintz reports.
Humboldt County Sheriff's deputies will have starring roles in a reality TV show, and although some members of the Board of Supervisors have concerns about it, a contract with the show's production company got a go-ahead. Supervisors confirmed the pact at their June 25th meeting. The contract is with Half Moon Pictures, LLC, which produces the On Patrol Live reality TV show. A written staff report says the show's crew will, quote, follow a select number of deputy sheriffs as they perform their duties throughout Humboldt County. The contract authorization was on the meeting's consent agenda of routine items, but Supervisor Mike Wilson asked Sheriff Billy Hansel to talk about his department's involvement in the show. Hansel said it will showcase the county's policing approach, which he described as progressive and humanistic.
The reason why this show is going to be important here, and the reason why I'm pushing this forward, is to talk about and to highlight the professional law enforcement services that we do here in Humboldt County. The one thing that we do that's really, I think, special and unique is that we do take pride in our community policing and do take pride in how we offer compassionate law enforcement services. And I think this is an opportunity for us to highlight Humboldt County, put Humboldt County on the map, and also talk about how California law enforcement is different. And California law enforcement does show that, you know, we do hold people accountable, but we also are all about building trust with our community.
Asked by Wilson how the show portrays policing, Hansel described it as a really good show that highlights what's going on around the country with crime and law enforcement. He said he believes being in the show will be a positive thing that will be great for Humboldt County. Wilson expressed doubt, thanking Hansel for his commentary, but saying, quote, I don't know if it's giving me a lot of confidence. Supervisor Natalie Arroyo also has concerns. So do some residents, she said, as there's uncertainty about how Humboldt policing will be portrayed.
I'm concerned about, we got some public comment asking, you know, us to not confirm this because of concerns that it's really showing people in some way invading their, you know, personal confidence, their privacy to some degree in their worst moments. And I can understand that perspective. I also know a few people have gone into law enforcement because they saw a show like this and it got them interested and it seemed like an exciting and interesting career. So I could see how it could achieve those goals as well. I will say it just makes me a little anxious for the potential reputational harm. I hope that it shows everyone doing their professional best. And, you know, it's, I understand that this type of show has evolved from the stuff I saw as a kid, probably, where it was intended more to shock, and it's probably more realistic now.
Hansel said the TV show's crew and its cameras will take all footage from publicly accessible areas and not private spaces like homes. He said the show is reputable and he has total confidence in it. Wilson seemed to have concerns that were outside of contractual considerations. And as the discussion wound down, he talked about how public obsession with reality TV makes him uneasy.
We just have a whole media sphere of fear and anxiety around all of these issues, and it's creating, we see it not just on our televisions, but on our some social media feeds, that, and I just feel that participating more in that arena and having our community be part of that even more is just, it's just, it's, it doesn't sit well with me in general.
The contract authorization was approved along with the rest of the consent agenda. Wilson joined the vote, but only because there was confusion about whether the contract item was included in it. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
Fortuna resident Sergeant Don Harms, born on June 29, 1919, celebrates his 105th birthday today. A distinguished veteran of the D-Day invasion, he holds the honor of being Humboldt County's oldest living veteran. Sergeant Harms served with the 5th Ranger Battalion, attached to the 69th Division during D-Day. His military journey began in 1941, when he was first selected under the Selective Service Number 158, drawn by the Secretary of War in Washington, D.C. On June 6, 1944, Sergeant Harms played a pivotal role in the Allied invasion of Omaha Beach, a crucial operation in liberating France from Nazi Germany. His battalion bravely advanced inland, overcoming unexpected challenges, including locating and neutralizing German artillery positions. During the intense combat, Sergeant Harms miraculously survived a head injury where a bullet struck his helmet and deflected into a fellow Ranger. Throughout his service, Harms earned numerous accolades, including Ranger tabs, a Bronze Star with 2 oak leaf clusters, a Purple Heart, a Combat Infantry badge, and several service and campaign ribbons. The valor of the 5th Rangers was also recognized with the prestigious Presidential Unit Citation. Today, surrounded by friends in Fortuna, Sergeant Don Harms marks his remarkable 105th birthday. On behalf of everyone here at KMUD, we extend a heartfelt congratulations and gratitude for his dedicated service. Happy birthday, Sergeant Don Harms. Ray Hamill brings us the details of all the big local sports stories this week, including news of a thrilling victory for the Humboldt Crabs and all the latest local Little League and American Legion baseball. In this report,
the Humboldt Crabs got their season back on track in dramatic fashion this week as they get set for a crucial series this weekend. Hello and welcome to this week's KMUD News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on the Crabs' big week in just a moment, and we'll also be looking at all of the other big local sports stories this week, including all the latest Little League news as the summer All-Star season heats up, as well as news of a great local sporting tradition returning to the North Coast this summer, how the local American Legion teams fared at the weekend Northern Humboldt Giants tournament, and news of a couple of local youth softball teams that are coming off big performances at tournaments last weekend. But first up, it was a big week for the Humboldt Crabs, who got their season back on track with a midweek series sweep against the Athletic Edge Express at the Arcata Ballpark. After a tough road trip last week that saw them lose 6 games against the Lincoln Potters and Healdsburg Prune Packers, the Crabs returned to Humboldt County and quickly put their losing skid behind them. And they did so in exciting fashion. On Tuesday night, the Crabs defeated the Edge Express 11-2 to open the series, and they followed that with a 7-6 walk-off victory on Wednesday. Trent Keyes helped reignite the summer season with a 2-run walk-off home run in the bottom of the 9th inning to end what had been a fun back-and-forth game that saw the lead change hands multiple times. The home run was the 2nd of the season for Keyes, who finished the game 2-for-2 and also had a double, a walk, and 4 RBIs and scored 3 runs. Former St. Bernard's Crusader Caleb Ruiz got the win on the mound in relief. Ruiz threw 5 innings and gave up just 2 earned runs on 6 hits and a walk while striking out 6. He improved to 3-2 on the summer. The Crabs will try to keep the momentum going in their favor this weekend as they get set for a pivotal three-game series against the Lincoln Potters at the Arcata Ballpark. The Potters swept a three-game series against the Crabs in Lincoln last week, but it was a hard-fought series with two of the games decided by a single run. Game one this weekend is set for Friday night at 7 p.m., with the two clubs also playing on Saturday night at 6:30 and on Sunday afternoon at 12:30. In youth baseball, meanwhile, the local Little League All-Star season is heating up. On Wednesday night in Fortuna, the Redwood Empire 11U All-Stars capped a big comeback with a 13-0 win over Eel River to claim the District 26 championship. After dropping their tournament opener against Eel River on Sunday, the Redwood Empire players won three straight elimination games on their way to the title, including an exciting 1-0 win over Eel River in nine innings on Tuesday night to set up Wednesday's winner-takes-all final. As district champions, the Redwood Empire players will now head to Yuba City for the area tournament, which gets underway on July 13th. The 12U District Tournament starts this weekend and will be hosted by Southern Humboldt, while the Junior All-Star Area Tournament will begin next Friday and will be hosted by District Champion McKinleyville. Switching gears, a great local sporting tradition that has benefited numerous Humboldt County athletes over the years is set to return to the North Coast this summer. Cal Poly Humboldt strength and conditioning coach Drew Peterson is bringing back the Lumberjack Iron Summer Program, giving local high school athletes the opportunity to train with one of the most respected college weight room coaches on the West Coast. Lumberjack's athletic director, Nick Pettit, recently gave the green light to restart the program, which previously ran for 26 years from the early 1990s up until 2018. And the summer camp will be free for any HDNL athletes interested in participating. The camp is scheduled to run for 5 weeks from July 8th through August the 9th from 8 to 10 a.m. on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. However, the initial response has been so positive in just the first few days that Peterson is looking to increase the number of camp spots from 60 to 75 and add Tuesdays and Thursdays to the schedule. For more information on the camp, anyone interested can get more details on the Cal Poly Humboldt Athletics website. In local American Legion baseball, it was a good weekend for some of the local teams at the Northern Humboldt Giants tournament. The three-day, eight-team event was played at Arcata High School, and the three local teams involved took the top three spots. The host Giants won the tournament, defeating the Southern Humboldt 76ers 9-1 in Sunday's championship game. The Giants went 3-0 in tournament play, while the 76ers finished 2-1. Wild Cactus Baseball, which features mostly St. Bernard's players, also enjoyed a big tournament and bounced back from a semi-final loss to the 76ers to beat Paradise 9-0 in five innings in Sunday's third place game. The Wild Cactus players also were 2-1 in tournament play. And finally this week, it was a good week for a couple of Humboldt County youth softball teams. The Mad River Mist 16-18U team traveled to Reading to compete in the Legacy Fast Pitch 4th annual Stars and Strikes tournament over the weekend and took home a championship thanks to a big showing on Sunday. After going 0-2-1 on Saturday, the local travel club girls won all three of their games on Sunday, including a 7-4 win over the Tehama Gold in the final of the 8-team tournament. With their backs to the wall, the Mist opened Sunday with a 7-2 come-from-behind win over Valley Prime and followed that with a 5-0 win over the Lil Rebels in the semi-final on the way to the championship game. Another local travel team, the 14U Humboldt Storm, also had a good weekend at the Top Gun softball tournament in Manteca. The Storm placed second in the tournament silver bracket division and were led by standout Layla Coleman, who had a monster weekend at the plate and hit three home runs in six games. After going 2-1 in pool play on Saturday, the Storm went 1-2 on Sunday, including a 7-0 loss to top-seeded Top Dog softball in the championship game. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
Turning to Mendocino, KMUD's Matt LaFever brings the latest headlines out of Mendocino County, where a deal to demolish a historic hotel has revealed controversy in a state agency. The California State Auditor has set its sights on the county's governance, and the ATF led a law enforcement raid in Redwood Valley.
This is Matt LaFever with the headlines out of Mendocino County for Friday, June 28th, 2024. Today's top story involves the historic Palace Hotel in Ukiah and a heated controversy surrounding a $5.3 million funding request by the Guidiville Rancheria Tribe. The Palace Hotel, a 19th century landmark in Ukiah, is at the heart of a political and legal storm. Internal documents from the California Department of Toxic Substances Control reveal dissent over the tribe's request for state funds to demolish the hotel, sparking concerns about the integrity of a $500 million state program aimed at revitalizing contaminated sites. Diane Barkley, a division chief for the California Department of Toxic Substance Control, expressed concerns in a May memo that the tribe might be acting as a front for private investors seeking to redevelop the site under the guise of environmental remediation. In the memo, Barkley wrote, quote, "The millions of dollars requested for demolition do not align with our program's intent. This might not even be legal," unquote. This internal debate has led to a significant clash within the agency, pitting lower-level managers and staff attorneys against higher-ranking officials. Senior staff at the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, which oversees the Palace site, questioned the necessity of the demolition for environmental purposes. The tribe's application was stalled in March, and top officials are now in damage control mode. Allison Westcott, the deputy director of the California Department of Toxic Substance Control, clarified the current state of the application, saying, quote, "No funds will be awarded for the demolition. We are still reviewing a possible grant for further investigative work at the site," unquote. The controversy has also attracted local attention. Dennis Crane, a preservationist advocate, criticized the state and local handling of the Palace Hotel's future, saying, quote, "They've been trying to slip through a giveaway of our tax money. Fortunately, the truth is finally coming to light," unquote. The fate of the Palace Hotel remains uncertain. Although the city of Ukiah issued a demolition permit, no action has been taken by either the current owner or the Guidiville Group. City Manager Sage San Giacomo maintains that the city's role is limited to public safety, yet critics argue that public discussions have been insufficient. The Palace Hotel stands as a symbol of the complex interplay between historic preservation, public funding, and private interests. In other news, the state of California has approved a comprehensive audit of the County of Mendocino's practices, including finance, contracts, and elections. This audit comes after a series of tumultuous events that have raised concerns about governance in the county. The state legislature has appropriated $800,000 to fund an extensive 18-month audit of Mendocino County. The audit will scrutinize various county departments, highlighting issues that have brought the county to what State Senator Mike McGuire calls a, quote, "tipping point," unquote. Senator Mike McGuire, now California's Senate President Pro Temp, emphasized the need for transparency and accountability in Mendocino County. He said, quote, "The community deserves answers. The status quo doesn't work, which is why the state is stepping in," unquote. The decision to conduct the audit follows a series of troubling events in the county. The elected county auditor, Controller Shamise Cubbinson, was suspended last fall after being charged with misuse of public funds. This move, initiated by District Attorney David Eister, has been controversial, with Cubbinson fighting the charges and filing a civil lawsuit against the Board of Supervisors for denying her due process. The Board of Supervisors declared a fiscal crisis due to delays in financial reporting, adding to the county's challenges. Mo Mulhern, chair of the Board of Supervisors, acknowledges the audit as an opportunity for improvement, saying, quote, "This audit will highlight our strengths and help us improve where needed. We look forward to the state's resources and knowledge to assist us," unquote. The audit will also cover the county's election practices, which have come under scrutiny after two significant errors earlier this year. Assessor County Clerk Katrina Bartlemay noted that her office was responsible for one of these errors involving incorrect voter information due to redistricting issues. State Auditor spokesperson Dana Seamus mentioned that while state audits of local government are not unusual, the situation in Mendocino County is particularly pressing. Seamus said, quote, "State audits are not unusual, and we have ongoing probes in various counties. This audit aims to provide facts and transparency," unquote. Mendocino County 5th District Supervisor Ted Williams, a vocal critic of the county's financial practices, sees the state audit as a necessary step forward, saying, quote, "This is an appropriate next step," unquote. As the audit unfolds, Mendocino County residents await the findings, which promise to bring clarity and hopefully pave the way for better governance and accountability. Now let's turn to Redwood Valley. This week, a coordinated law enforcement raid took place involving the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, along with the assistance from the Drug Enforcement Administration, as well as the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office. Drug Enforcement Administration Agent Casey Redig confirmed the ATF's leadership in the raid, though the ATF San Francisco Field Office has not yet commented. The Mendocino County Sheriff's Office Captain Quincy Cromer provided further details, saying, quote, "Sheriff's Office personnel were present to assist allied agencies on the Redwood Valley incident, but were not the primary investigating agency," unquote. The raid took place on Wednesday, June 26th, on Redwood Valley's Laughlin Way, according to community members who witnessed the event. They reported seeing multiple subjects detained, an armored vehicle, and a convoy of law enforcement officers. Some residents expressed concerns about low-flying drones over their properties, even though their homes were not the targets of the raid. We'll provide updates as more info becomes available. And that's the latest from Mendocino County. I'm Matt LaFevre in Hopland, reporting for KMUD News.
In national news, Senate committee hearing on teacher compensation shows high turnover in the profession due to low pay. KPFA's Christopher Martinez reports.
Independent Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont sees low pay as being at the heart of challenges facing public schools, and he chaired a hearing of his Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee Thursday to address the issue.
And there is, in fact, nothing more important that we can do than provide a quality education to all of our young people. And yet, for decades, public school teachers have been overworked, underpaid, understaffed, and maybe most importantly, underappreciated.
Sanders reviewed some grim statistics about things like teacher turnover. 44% of teachers leave their job in their first 5 years. And nearly 10% of teaching positions are left vacant or filled by teachers not fully certified. Sanders says if you adjust for inflation, American teachers make nearly $100 a week less than they did 28 years ago.
The situation has become so absurd that four hedge fund managers on Wall Street made more money last year than every kindergarten teacher in America.
After laying out the problem, Sanders presented his proposal, the Pay Teachers Act. It would pay teachers what he calls decent wages and benefits, and he adds it's not a very radical or controversial concept.
This bill would make sure that no teacher in America is paid less than $60,000 a year. It would increase wages for teachers who have made teaching their profession, those who have been on the job for 10, 20, or 30 years.
Of course, there was controversy over Sanders' plan.
Now, the Democrat solution to this challenge has been to create a federal minimum salary for teachers.
Republican Neil Cassidy of Louisiana is the ranking Republican on the committee. He talked about root causes as he showed a chart with a rising line representing school spending and two falling lines representing declining student reading and math scores.
Schools have lost sight of their core mission of educating children. Some education leaders prioritize social agendas and progressive ideology over academic progress. This negatively impacts children's success. It leaves them ill-prepared to enter a competitive workforce.
Cassidy says more federal mandates and funding cannot be the answer. To back up his point, he introduced two witnesses. First, Robert Pondicio, a senior fellow with the American Enterprise Institute.
If we expect higher pay to improve student outcomes, if that is the why, then I fear we'll be disappointed. Higher pay does not ease the burden we place on teachers or add hours to their day. The problem we seldom discuss is that we have made teaching too hard for mere mortals. Teaching is the easiest job in the world to do badly. It's the hardest job to do well.
Cassidy also introduced Nikhil Neely, the president and founder of the Virginia-based group Parents Defending Education. She says parents are not concerned about the issues Sanders chose. Instead, she talked about things like diversity, equity, and inclusion policies in K-12 schools and what she calls woke kindergartens. Like Pondicio, Neely suggests the problem is not a lack of money in schools, but how the money is spent.
We want our children to stay in classrooms to learn how to read and write, not march for climate change. We want our children to know how to get the right answer in math class, not be told that showing their work is white supremacy. We want our children to be safe when we drop them off, and we don't want teachers to tell them to keep secrets from mom and dad. Fixing the American education system is hard, which is why it is essential to identify and grapple with the real problems and not pre-election sloganeering.
The witnesses called by Sanders told a different tale. A Philadelphia elementary school teacher told of spending $1,000 a year on school supplies while working a second job to make ends meet. Another teacher, John Arthur, was named the 2021 Utah Teacher of the Year. He says the statistic that worries him most is that most American parents do not want their children to become teachers.
The number one reason teachers leave the profession is the pay. The number one reason parents don't want their children to become teachers is the pay. So the number one solution to addressing the issues we face must be increasing teacher salaries.
Arthur says he was only able to become a teacher because his wife makes more money than he does. His mother, he says, was very worried about his choosing to become a teacher. But he says after he became Teacher of the Year, his mother saw his accomplishments and became happier about his choosing the profession.
Just before she passed away, she left me this email. She said, "Hi, son. This is Oma. I just want to say I am so proud of you as a teacher. You're a great teacher. You're a wonderful son. I love you." I followed my heart into teaching, and my love for teaching won my mother's heart, too. We can do this. Thank you.
Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Michael McCaskill. And thanks to our reporters, Daniel Mintz, Matt LaFever, Ray Hamill, Christopher Martinez, and Eileen Alfandari. KMUD News is online. You can find us on KMUD.org, SoundCloud, Instagram, and Facebook. That's where you can see stories, links, and videos. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send us an email to news@kmud.org. Reporting from the KMUD studios in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.